The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com. It is 10:06 a.m. on July 10th, 2010, on the Central Coast of California, and it's time now for Geekspeak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KOSP. You know, Al, I like your theme song. That's nice.
Thanks.
I'm Lyle Troxell. In the air with me is Al Luckow. He is a new media architect and composer.
Hello, everybody.
GeekSpeak is a Creative Commons endeavor, which means you can go ahead and reuse our content whenever you'd like, as long as you cite us and don't change it. And if you'd like to participate by giving us music or imagery for our website, we'd love to take your content and your creativity and abuse it and use it. And you can do that by going to geekspeak.org and sending us notes. Coming up next, this is going to be difficult because we only have one geek. We have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you.
We have me, too. I could do that, too.
Right.
But let's go ahead and start with you.
Okay. How did you come to that decision?
I came to that because I'm talking and
looked around.
There was an empty seat to
the
left.
There's only one guy sitting
right
here.
It was better than last week. I was alone last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, GeekSpeak's not falling apart. People are actually off on GeekSpeak adventures. Ben and Miles are down in Vegas at TAM, the amazing meeting, mm-hmm. and they're getting interviews and all that. They're actually official GeekSpeak representatives out of state.
Wow.
So we're really in great
shape.
We're
like multi-state.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. So coming up next, you can power your house by moon cheese. But first, let's talk about some Japanese films, shall we?
Japanese films.
Oh, that's the same story.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like we should have prepared and we did,
you know,
and then
we don't really know what we're doing here. Well, there's an interesting story that I ran across. There's a company in Japan. It's called Shimizu. And they're a construction firm, and they have recently proposed a plan to harness solar energy on a large scale than ever before. What they want to do is they want to build a belt of solar cells around the moon's 6,800-mile equator. So they want to convert electricity to powerful microwaves and lasers to be beamed to Earth, and then they convert the beams back to electricity at terrestrial power stations.
Wow.
Well, they're saying this could meet the entire world's energy needs. Because
okay, this idea of beaming from space, because, of course, you mm-hmm. don't have any cloud cover
right.
on the moon and all that. I thought that it's always the problem is how do you actually transport the energy? Like microwaves?
Well, through microwaves, I wonder what would happen if you were a plane and you flew through one of these beams. Like, hey, my coffee's really hot all of a sudden.
I don't think it would be good.
Yeah, but that's what they want to do. And they're, you know, it's like a real, they're like actually going through and finding a way to do this. Yeah, they've got plans to do, they want to produce water on the moon by reducing lunar soil with hydrogen imported from the Earth. So that way they can make concrete and things like that. And they want to use robots to level the ground and then have, you know, astronauts up there and, you know, I mean, it's like they're serious about doing this. And, you know, I think a crazy idea is how things start.
Okay.
And this is certainly a crazy idea.
I would say that a crazy idea would definitely define solar panels on the moon. The other question I have is why put them on the moon? Why not float them in space? I mean, is there...
Probably cheaper because the moon's already there and it's like probably going to be there. It's pretty stable.
It's stable.
hasn't wobbled too much. So, you know, putting them up there and then, it spins around.
Have you been listening to the Drumblecast lately? Speaking of the moon being stable, did you hear that great story about a whole civilization that was on a moon imprint, a moon boot imprint?
No.
Okay, you got to listen to the Drabblecast.
Oh, I got to check that one out, yeah. Story. Drabblecast is a great podcast. It's one of my favorites. We've had that guy on the show.
We have.
Yeah, Norm Sherman.
Norm Sherman.
But yeah, that sounds like a neat idea, you know, to have power from the moon.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's the first time, but this is the first time I've ever seen a company like actually going through the motions of doing it. So, you know, we'll be like 95 years old by the time anything like this seems like they,
that's right.
You know, but still, you know.
So coming up next, surprising benefits of living in the woods. But first, I want to mention that YouTube yesterday announced kind of insanity. You know, everyone's familiar with YouTube videos. They're normally kind of small and grainy. Mm-hmm. And lately, sometimes you can click the high res, the HD 720 is what they've been supporting. Mm-hmm. For, you know, it's normally kind of looks like it's the paid material, like the previews for movies and stuff. Things can be moving to YouTube because everybody can watch them. So all the previews and things are there. Well, yesterday announced that they're going to be supporting 4K resolution images.
Now, wow.
And a 4K resolution image is huge.
How big? That's like what they use at theaters.
Yeah. Well, it's actually more. Most theaters don't do that. Like IMAX, for example, is not even that big. They use 2K, which is 2048 pixels wide. When we say 2K and 4K, we're talking about the width of it.
Uh-huh.
That's just the reason. I don't know why, but
right.
It's not that important. But basically, the 4K image is a 4096 pixels by 3072 pixels. A 1080p mm-hmm. project, you know, HD
right.
is 2048 by 1080 pixels. Or the uh-huh. 720 is the lines, and
right.
1080 is the lines of vertical lines. So 4K is like it's actually four times as many pixels as what a movie theater, even IMAX,
wow.
presents, which is kind of amazing. So why they're doing that on YouTube, it astonished me. They're only doing it for like 10 different
uh-huh.
Things. We have the story up on
I can't wait to watch 4K jerky video on YouTube.
No.
It's 4K, but it's a little choppy.
Your screen resolution doesn't do that. Like you
yeah.
don't have a screen that does
right.
4K, you know, that wide. Let's see, my Mac laptop, the widest it gets is 1440, right?
Right.
By 900 high.
Uh-huh.
So it can't even do 1080p.
Yeah.
So to do that is kind of insane. I don't know who's going to be... You've got to have a whole bunch of gear to do it.
Huh.
And they're probably doing it because they can.
Yeah. I mean, that's like you have the camera. You have to have like a red camera or something to do that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
So one of the ones the stuff they've got up there is like... and you can't download it either. Like you could download it, maybe edit and use it or something, but you can't do that. So,
you know, I mean, I would be happy with just nice, smooth playing normal video.
Yes. You'd
you
be
know,
happy with that?
Ultimately... Just make it play nice and work.
You, I mean, don't need more pixels than your screen.
I don't
can
need
handle.
It to be any bigger. Just make it play nice, you know? And that is where they should aim for, you know?
Of course, that has a lot to do with your bandwidth to your
right.
to the site.
But,
so.
You know, there's compression and, you know, super brains should be able to figure that out.
That's true. So we live in the woods.
Yes, we do. Well, it turns out that this is from an article in the New York Times. Exposure to plants and parks can boost your immunity. So scientists found that when people go out into the woods, into these more natural surroundings, forests and parks and places with plenty of trees, they experience increased immune function. And, you know, we've always known about things like stress reduction and, you know, the benefits of, oh, it's nice and there's butterflies and stuff like that and fresh air and blah, blah, blah. We always know that. But now they're saying there's even more involved, especially around trees, because they say there are these things, and I don't really know how to pronounce this. It looks like phytoncides, phytoncides. Phytoncides.
Phytoncides.
Phytoncides. Phytoncides. These are airborne chemicals that plants emit to protect them from rotting and keep away insects. They find that these chemicals seem to be benefiting humans. And they did a study in Japan using 250 healthy people, and they found this therapeutic effect very obvious, and they even have a name for it now. It's shirin-yoko, or forest bathing. I don't know if you have to be naked or not.
I don't
they don't say so. They don't specifically say if you're naked in a forest. this will benefit you.
It's like the people that are in cities and buy air, you know, in a can.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Perry Air.
Yes.
What was that movie, Spaceballs?
Wasn't that Spaceballs? Yeah.
But yeah, it's it looks that's a good thing because, you know, we both live right. We're surrounded by redwoods.
So it looks like it's good for us.
Maybe that's why we're not sick right now or something.
Hey,
I don't know. But they said that there's been a number of studies like this, and the forest seems to be able to raise levels of white blood cells. So, and this is measured in men who took two-hour walks in a forest for over 2 days and had a 50% spike in the levels of these natural white cell killer cells.
Couldn't it just be from walking, like exercising versus not exercising?
Yeah, they'd have to actually, they don't give a lot of detail on this, but,
cool.
You know, it's one of those things like whenever you read a story about, oh, drinking wine can have health benefits,
sure.
You just like jump on that bandwagon. Oh.
There's nothing wrong with walking in the woods or drinking wine for that matter.
Right, doing the two.
So you know how your friends are, and I'm not talking to Al here, I'm talking to you. You know how your friends are sometimes call you Neanderthal? There's a reason for that. We're about to find out in just a minute. But first, I'm going to mention that Miles submitted a story that's pretty interesting. And I've lost it. Great.
It was really interesting,
it was
but
amazing.
It's gone now.
It's basically that the iPhone 4, it's got bad reception. That's, I guess, one of the problems with the iPhone 4. And the newest update's not fixing it. Richard Gaywell, PhD on a wireless network design from Cardiff University, thinks the signal display fix is a good step to fix users' perception, but it won't fix the antenna interface problem that exists in the iPhone.
Oh, so I think I read this article.
They're just changing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're giving you better feedback on how poor your reception actually is with the amount of bars.
Well, I know. I mean, I have the iPhone 4, and I've been using it, and I had it without the bumper, and then with the bumper. I have the bumper now, and I haven't really had the reception issues that everybody's talked about. I really haven't had any problems at all with it. I mean, I can do the thing where you can hold it a certain way and watch the bars go down, but I happen to know that doesn't necessarily have to do with your call strength.
Right.
I just, you know, when I got the bumper, it doesn't do that anymore. And, so I haven't had the issues. And I think given the wide popularity of this device, you know, people are just going to try to find, I mean, if I decided, okay, I'm going to take a piece of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and fold it in half, and then I'm going to fold it in half again. All right, and then I sold 1.7 million of these. I can tell you, some of them are going to be a little bit screwed up, and all I did was fold the paper in half twice. Okay, so when you look at a device like the iPhone, how complex it is, you know, when they sell 1.7 million of them, it's inevitable they're going to be messed up. Some of them are going to have problems. You know, in my experience, I would just, you know, I've had an issue with the iPhone before, and I think they're very, you bring it into the store and they just swap it out without even hassling you. That's what I've experienced. But you know, I think ultimately there's, you know, it's not going to be the perfect device, but mine hasn't really given me those issues.
Right.
You know,
what we're talking about is like this deadly spot on the iPhone, theoretically, that when you touch a certain part of it, it kills the signal strength by quite a bit. And it's definitely happening. I mean, that's definitely happening. So when you're having problems with your iPhone 4, make sure you hold it in a certain way. And if you have an iPhone 4, go ahead and look online. You'll find tons of suggestions on it. And what Al's saying is that if you get the little rubber case for it, no problem. You don't have to really worry.
Yeah, it's just like a little strip that goes around it because they put the antenna on the outside of the phone. So it's like this metal strip, which looks very cool. But then if you touch two parts of it at the same time, it does something weird to the antenna.
And, you know, in a little bit, we're going to talk about this later in the show, a smartphone innovation that's not Apple.
What?
Or Google.
You're kidding.
Okay. Just to let you know, it's coming up. So why are people calling people Neanderthals?
Well,
is it Neanderthals or Neanderthals?
It's Neanderthal. And you know, it's funny because everybody wants to say Neanderthal, including me, because it just seems like it's easier to say and it sounds better, but it's Neanderthal.
And you should remember that because they were tall? No, they weren't actually.
They weren't. But, you know, just remember you heard it here that it's Neanderthal.
Okay.
So
moving on. No.
Yeah. They say that, you know, you joke about people having the caveman mentality and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's always been thought that the Neanderthals were a different, completely different species and that, all that kind of thing. But it turns out that they've done this study recently. released results that they did humans. They've proven that humans and Neanderthals did interbreed. They used DNA. They say about 1-4% of DNA in modern people from Europe and Asia was inherited from Neanderthals. And this was from the May 7th Science. It's a small but a very real proportion of our ancestry, says study co-author David Reich. The other person, interestingly enough, that worked on this study is right here in Santa Cruz, Richard E. Green. He's a genome biologist now at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. So he's like right here, which is kind of cool.
Hey, call us up.
Yeah. If he's, yeah. Anyhow, they took all these people and, you know, Neanderthals disappeared around 30,000 years ago. But this new data indicates that humans didn't really necessarily replace Neanderthals, but assimilated them into the gene pool. So Neanderthals are not totally extinct. They live on. In us, they compared the blueprints of the female Neanderthals who lived about 40,000 years ago, mm-hmm, with those of five present day humans from China, France, Papua New Guinea, and southern and western Africa, and it revealed that the people outside of Africa carry Neanderthal DNA. So oddly enough, the people within Africa for some reason don't have Neanderthal DNA, but the people outside do. And that's what they got from this study.
How much DNA we're talking about?
Well, they say traces, yeah. And they say that 1% to 4% of DNA in modern people from Europe and Asia was inherited from Neanderthals.
Interesting.
Which, you know, it makes to me, you know, I mean, I kind of think, you know, Neanderthals, and it seems like they might have interbred.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could be 30,000 years ago. You know, you just filled up on fermenting fruit.
I've spent
you're out there in the field by yourself.
You know, there's this mentality that the Neanderthal was like less evolved than us or something, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
The idea, what's really happening is that there was a separation of them. Probably as humans developed more in Africa, there was some kind of separation, and another species, Neanderthal, was developing. Mm-hmm. And so when humans left Africa, ran into Neanderthals and coexisted and probably killed each other too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's some interbreeding.
Right.
Now that we know that.
Yep.
Really fascinating. You know, at first you're like, wow, interbreeding. For a long time, people were like, no. And that was like a species definition, mm-hmm, no interbreeding.
Right.
But, you know, I've seen, unfortunately, too much stuff online. I know people have strange proclivities.
Yeah.
I mean, people have fetishes with coffee machines, you know.
Right.
I mean, if it's a creature that's walking around, there's going to be some kind of interbreeding.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And the DNA clearly was close enough where a viable offspring existed.
Yeah.
So that, of course, stretches that whole bar of where species definition is, because if we can interbreed with successful young, which clearly there were, mm-hmm, that's not really a different species.
Well, now we have proof. You know, and that's what's kind of cool. I mean, you know, it's a very exciting thing. I mean, my wife came in running with the magazine saying, "You aren't going to believe this," you know. And it is a, you know, for people who are scientifically minded people, they really look for proof.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, you can say this or that, you believe this or that, but it's an exciting thing to discover. So, most of us probably are partially Neanderthal. Some of us more than others, maybe.
So. It's funny because, of course, our conception of that would be, well, if you've got more, you know, more hair on your body, or, you know, you try to start associating, you don't know really have that much association.
Right.
The truth is the Neanderthal wasn't as successful as humans. That's pretty much all we know.
Yep.
And it could be that they were less aggressive,
mm-hmm,
right? And
yeah,
less territorial.
Maybe we need more Neanderthals.
A lot of traits that we think of as negative about the human species,
mm-hmm,
probably made us more dominant than the
right.
Neanderthal.
Yeah, ultimately, it's the dominant ones that went out, and you don't know what the reason for that dominance was, you know, good or bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, we had some funny movies, real and unreal, Al's going to mention, and I'm going to start it off with one that I saw yesterday. I put up on the Geek Speak site, of course. It's Big Bang Big Boom. Did you see this yet?
Big Bang Big Boom.
I put it on my Facebook too.
Oh.
The new wall-painted animation by Blue, BLU. This is an amazing piece of stop animation that kind of is like a exploration of creation, mm-hmm, you know, like starting out first cells and then breaking up a whole bunch of different creatures. And it's done throughout a whole city block. And they paint the walls and they paint objects and they, mm-hmm, do a lot. You've got to watch this thing. It's
you know,
very cool.
I never get tired of stop animation.
I love that
stuff. I just, you know, everything from, You know, you look at Wallace and Gromit to, you know, all those Christmas things we watched.
That amazing stop animation of the Pacific Garden Mall's holiday parade in December.
Oh, that was incredible.
That was incredible. That had you and me in it.
Yes. That was the best part.
That was probably the best part. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's just something neat about it. I don't know, you know, as opposed to like 3D animation and that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about more movies that are possibly coming out and possibly not. I say you pitch a movie idea, and I'll tell you if it's ridiculous or not. Okay. And then we'll know if it's going to come out. Okay.
All right. How about...
Well, do you want me to put in a lead for this one?
Yeah.
Okay, let's lead in with this one. Does anyone remember this?
You're slugging it out in the middle of the ring! And there's a hard drive to the jaw! And Blue Garment Block is knocked off!
And Block is knocked off?
Sure, but you can press it right back on again. It's just part of the action with the world's only boxing robots, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marks. Takes two managers to handle the fighters and lots of skill to win. With these control levers, you can keep your fighters in motion to duck punches. When you press this plunger, he throws a right uppercut. Press the other plunger and there's a left jab. Lots of exciting action and fun for everyone when the world's only boxing robots battle it out.
The Blue Bomber is looking for an opening. And there it is. That's the end of round two.
Just push the flying head back and you're ready for round three.
Boy, this is the greatest.
You bet.
I love this.
Boy, this is the greatest.
I know. Those are the days when they just used kids that spoke like kids instead of like perfect like enunciating, right. You know, four-year-olds.
You know,
somehow
these are just kids that.
How can they talk like that? These are like kids that are like, this is great. You know,
I don't even know what the first line the kid says. I can't. Something about the Blue blocks his head off.
Yeah, it's hard to even understand. Yeah.
Anyway, that's Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They debuted as a toy. From, gosh, now I'm forgetting, in 1964.
Yeah.
What company was it? Marvin Glass and Associates.
Yeah, it ended up being Mattel. Uh-huh. But originally...
Yeah, Mark's Toy Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Mark's also made the big wheel.
Oh, really?
By the way, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Good toy as well. And, of course, everyone knows this little toy. And they actually are still making these things.
Yeah.
My kids had one for a while. The quality, you can see in the video that we posted up on the Geekspeak website, the quality of it. Then was clearly a lot more stable and strong. You know,
yeah.
The ones now are like just so
they're just cheap.
Yeah, but so why are you bringing up?
Well, because it looks like they've proposed a Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie.
No,
Hollywood is officially out of ideas.
So this is real. This is really gonna
happen. According to a number of sources, it looks like. Over the last 6 months ago, Sean Levy began casting Hugh Jackman in the lead role of this boxing drama set in the near future where 2,000-pound robots that look like humans do battle.
Is this like a complete... okay, fine. I'll just accept that that's happening. It's sad, but it's happening.
Yep. And you know it's even sadder? Hmm. I'll probably see it.
Of course, we'll probably go see it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds a lot like the last Iron Man, where they're both fighting each other. Him and his friend are fighting each other in suits.
Right.
It's just that, but that's the only plot.
But these are, you know, I mean, there's a very specific way that Rock'em Sock'em Robot gets defeated.
You have to knock its head off.
Its head goes, you know, and then sticks way up high. I can't make the noise. It's a very distinctive sound too.
It is.
So anyway, that's something to look forward to.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. You got another one?
Yeah. There's a movie that is going to be about Facebook.
Okay. This is the fake one. What do you mean a movie about Facebook? Like the creation of Facebook.
It's
like
you can watch the trailer, and it's an upcoming movie, and the weird thing about the trailer is it's very, like, sinister. Like, very, like...
Creepy
and Amityville Horror-ish and stuff like that. It's the kind of thing you can't make 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
Sweet.
And that's something to you know, and it might be interesting. I'm kind of interested how a movie like that might pan out. But the trailer, you know, and you know, people make these trailers fake and real and that kind of thing.
And so you're not sure if the Facebook one is fake or real?
Oh, I know the answers, which ones are real.
Okay, well, here's the next one. Java Forever trailer. This is a movie all about Java. And Java is a programming environment, of course. And I think we should just play a little bit of this one.
Oh, it's... Oh, yeah. I think probably could.
We could talk over it a bit, but... I think it's necessity.
They appear to be the perfect family.
Jeg eksporterer alle Olo-objektene med kommandolinjen, slik at de blir tilgjengelige for internettinformasjon.
But sometimes appearances can be deceiving.
Pappa, hvorfor bruker du alltid .net?
So what's happening here, and I'll just describe, it's a very sad case. Father, of course, loves Java just like any red-blooded American, and his son wants to use .net, which of course is Microsoft's technology. And this is a coming of age movie.
Well, the father uses .net, and he's telling the son a story.
So sorry,
son's like, are there any other platforms besides .net?
Right, so of course, the coming of age, the child needs to actually explore and get out of the .net. Yeah, right. And so, of course, he goes on to become a Java developer, and it's a very sad, heart-wrenching film.
Doesn't tell his father.
Has to keep him secret. I mean, his father would be ashamed.
There are scenes when he comes in.
This is done so well, and it's a promo, I'm assuming, for... the Java Zone show, the trade show that's happening in September, I think, this year. And, it's a great piece. It's really high quality, really funny.
Oh, man.
Wonderful trailer. You could feel it by the voice and the music. It's done well.
You know, I could watch that over and over again.
It's hilarious.
I mean, it's funny every time I watch it. You never get one of those things
that really makes fun of movie trailers in general.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we got Facebook. We got Java Forever trailer.
Yes. So,
any other movies?
Those are the three that I had.
All right, so the Facebook one and the Java one have got to be both fake.
The Facebook one is real.
Oh, no.
And the Rock'em Sock'em Robots is real.
No.
And the Java Zone one is not.
See,
and what's funny,
reversed.
You know, if you watch all these trailers, and you know, we have, or there's no trailer for the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie, but there is for the Facebook. And if you watch all these things, the Java Zone one looks the realest.
It does.
And it's the fakest. Or, I mean, it is.
Because they already got a trailer, of course. Yeah.
Geekspeak
on KSP is supported by Home and Small Business Tech, providing IT support to businesses, tech support for home computers, home and business tech specialists in protecting data, and have been providing data storage recovery, virtualization, and maintenance for over 10 years. HSBtech.com is their website. And they're supporting us. You're listening to Geekspeak on Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP Santa Cruz. And let's do a geek bit. Oh, I didn't set up a geek bit today. See, this is what happens when you don't have enough geeks in the house.
Yeah, I mean, neither one of us are really paying attention.
No. What are we going to do for geek bit then in the middle of the show break?
Well, should we talk about the t-shirts?
You mean the t-shirts donated by G3, the makers of the iPhone game Image Quest?
The ones sitting right here.
The t-shirts that you designed and are fantastic and awesome.
Well, I may be biased, but yes, I think they're pretty nice.
Nah, let's not talk about them. what do you think we should do with them?
Give them away.
Wait, so they were donated so we can give them away.
Yeah.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, they're great. I think they're great.
Cool. And really close quality, all that.
Yeah.
Nah, let's not talk about that. What do you want to do for lunch today?
Probably go to Zoccoli's.
Downtown?
Yeah.
On Pacific?
Yeah.
All right. I'll do that with you.
All right.
Hey, let's bring 10 t-shirts down to Zoccoli's at 12 o'clock today.
What for?
Let's give them away.
10 t-shirts?
Yeah. 10 GeekSpeak t-shirts. First 10 people to come down. They got to ask for something. They got to tell us something.
They got to tell us which was the fake movie.
Good. And to be clear, the fake movie, well, there's two of fame. Fake. No, there's only one fake movie.
One fake movie.
The Java movie. So if you just come down and say the Java movie's fake, unfortunately, or something like that, tell us a little bit about the show today. We'll give you a t-shirt. We'll be at Zoccoli's at noon, getting sandwiches, probably sitting down on Pacific. If it's
and we'll probably bring like a few larges and extra larges.
Cool.
We don't have, you know, I mean, it's just Lyle and I.
We're not going to bring.
We're not going to like drive up in a truck with a big antenna and all that stuff and a big all these people. And this is 10 shirts.
This is very informal. Come on down.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you go to Zoccoli's at noon today.
You need a t-shirt. Yeah. And we'll figure out other ways to get them. We don't really have a lot of money to be mailing them out all over the place. So it's going to be mostly kind of show up and hand them out.
Although we're not against it.
We'll definitely mail them if we can.
We'll have some contests.
Contests.
And they're pretty cool. I mean, these are nice shirts. We put
nice
some
shirts.
Extra
they're
bucks
gray,
in
they
making.
Got a really beautiful logo on the front, which the logo's not even on our website, I don't think.
No.
There's no vision of this. It's on our business cards and our non-tech side is beautiful right now.
Right, right. So
we'll give you the business cards too.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, and I want to let you know that GeekSpeak on KOSP is supported by Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. We're taking your calls now with questions and comments about technology. In the other room, we have Rick, and he's waiting to take your calls. The phone numbers are 476-2800. That's the 831 area code, 476-2800. Or toll-free, and I'll give these numbers again in just a minute, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. I'm a little rusty on Windows right now, so I recommend Mac calls or, you know, backup questions, spam, email. What email? I mean, there's a lot of things we can handle.
Well, you use, at work, you're always using Linux and Windows and everything.
Yeah, I do.
And I use it too.
Yeah, we can handle calls.
Yeah, but
we don't have, you know, we don't have experts in
there. We're not, you know, we don't like it that much. How about that? That's maybe what we should say.
It's got its place.
Yeah.
In the corner, running old software.
Yeah.
We can also handle electronics questions and physics questions and, of course, anything to do with the Adobe suite of applications, at least the three top babies, InDesign, Illustrator, and Photoshop. Al kind of knows his way around those. So yeah. Give us a call. Ask us questions. Or give us some information you want to share with other people about technology. Phone numbers again are 476-2800. Toll free at 1-800-655-5877. 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. Of course, that number is toll free anywhere, I think, in the U.S. And actually, this hemisphere, I think. But I'm not sure. Try it out. All right. Let's do another news story. We're waiting for calls to be sorted through. Gadgets. We talked about smartphone technology that's not Apple,
yes,
or Google.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even believe it. What do you got?
Yeah, heck, it's actually happening. There are other people out there. These are a couple of innovations from Samsung that I thought were worth noting. There's the 3D cell phone from Samsung. It's the model B710, and which I think they already had out, but for some reason now they're 3D. And they have the ability to show 3D imagery on the phone, and they have a video of this thing, and it actually kind of looks like they're able to film it somehow. I would think they'd had to fake it, but the thing about this is you don't need 3D glasses.
Right.
Somehow they're able to show you this 3D imagery. You tilt the phone sideways, and then it like hovers above it. And it's supposed to be, you know, the true 3D effect.
Yeah, the way this is working, of course, the 3D, the way you do this is you give slightly different images to each eye. So the reason why we see in three dimensions, or the people that have parallax, unlike me, see in three dimensions, your left eye and your right have a slightly different image, and your brain puts it together as a 3D image. That's why things, you know, you can see both sides of the thing. And you can kind of see this by closing one eye back and forth. You see that the image shifts around.
So then Samsung is controlling your brain.
Basically. So what Samsung's doing is pretty clever. The reason why this doesn't work in a big movie theater without glasses and stuff is that your eyes are so close together from the screen. Compared to the screen, the angle of direction wouldn't work. And if you were off slightly, you'd have the wrong image going to the wrong eye. So the way they do this is when an up-close device, they're able to just say, you know, basically half of the image is gonna be shooting one direction and half the image the two images are going to shoot two different directions with kind of a prism effect. And so if you have your head kind of in the middle, it works. If you tilted your head to one side, it wouldn't work, or it'd actually be reverse 3D if they're continuing. It's more probably easy to describe this by drawing it. Which I would do if you were sitting with me.
If
you come to lunch, I'll draw it for you.
Okay, I get it.
So that's how it's working. It's pretty cool. It's not going to float above the screen. It's just going to be where the screen is, but it's going to look like it's floating above the screen.
Yeah, I mean, the little imagery they have there, it appears to be...
A friend of Ben sells one of these things and has some code to do this thing, too. And I think it's on an iPhone. Huh. So it's kind of getting around. Let me just say, though, I'm going to make a strong statement. I do not like 3D stuff. Don't like it.
Well, of course you don't like it.
I it ticks me off that this weekend I wanted to go see a movie and I had to make sure not to see the 3D movie because, of course,
you know,
I can't see
3D. I went and saw the 3D movie Airbender with Brian.
I saw the 2D one. It was beautiful.
You know what? I kept taking the glasses off. I don't know what it is, but it really wasn't – there was no point to having 3D in that movie, and it was not – and when I lifted my glasses up, it wasn't – it looked like a normal movie, and there was like a couple of parts that tried to do – I don't know if we were sitting in the wrong spot, you know, or what.
Maybe the projector was down.
You know, it was like, this is dumb. Why am I even doing this? I don't want to wear these glasses. I just want to see the movie. You know, sometimes you just want to see a movie, and the 3D thing doesn't really work. Plus, I went with Brian, and he's very critical of that stuff.
Well, it's easy to be critical of that movie, too.
It was at
if you want to not be critical of that movie, take a take an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
That's the way to see that movie.
Yeah.
From Monterey, Susan, welcome.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I want to compliment you guys. I love your program, and I listen often. And you just touched on something, what you were first saying. I'm a senior, and I can remember way back in the, I think it was the late 50s or early 60s, when they, the first time I saw a 3D movie, they gave us glasses and this and that.
Right.
And I experienced exactly what you're saying. I mean, mm-hmm. I would take the glasses off because they were just too cumbersome.
Was it Creature from the Black Lagoon that you saw?
It could have been. I can't remember. But I totally tune into what you're saying.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support on that. I'm on the show.
And I totally and thoroughly enjoy your program and your knowledge in this
man.
Now I'm a senior, all right?
All right.
So I want to ask you a couple questions. When I say senior, you can basically translate that into being a Luddite.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that either. But
you're calling. Go ahead and prove us wrong.
You're calling a radio station about a technology question.
Well, as I said, I'm retired now, and I want to put in some of my memoirs. I guess just maybe for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Blah blah blah. But I wanted to ask you guys, what kind of technology should I be looking for? Voice activated software and such and such and such. And I know you're not sponsoring any particular brand.
Are you on a Windows machine or a Macintosh?
On Windows.
A Windows machine.
But I could change. I'm thinking about changing.
You know, the company that does that kind of work, taking text in long form and translating it, or taking voice in long form and translating it to text, is Dragon Naturally Speaking. That mm-hmm. that is kind of the behemoth of the industry. It's not too expensive to do. The big thing is it takes training, and you have computers are not smart. Computers are very stupid. So you have to teach it how to do things, and then you have to be kind of robotic in the way you do them. A lot of people have tremendous success with it. Some people don't. I think it probably has to do with how the voices work and how the software works. But what you do is you read a whole bunch of material from them, like a few pages, and you try to read that in the way that you'll be reading, that you'll be saying all of your stuff, right? And it gets a pattern from you based off of the text that it knows and this text that you're reading. It kind of matches them, and then as you speak later, it actually does a pretty good job. You kind of have to proofread, but what I would do very much, I mean, definitely, if you're going to do this, record audio and just keep the audio, because translation software, you know, voice to text, is going to get better and better as we get better with writing software and computers get more powerful.
Yeah, I have a suggestion,
so
though.
So just record that stuff, but also use the Dragon Natural Speaking. What are you going to say?
You know, the Dragon stuff, I have never had anybody that's really gotten anything. I mean, you got to be, Susan, if I were you, and I can tell you, I actually did this myself. I recorded a bunch of clips from my dad and me talking. And just over the course of a number of years, and then I ended up with a bunch of audio clips, and then I just bundled them together and made CDs out of it. And my dad died like 10 years ago, and then a couple years after he died, I took these recordings and gave them as audio CDs to my family, and it was great because they could hear him talk and all that kind of stuff. And it was really neat because I think the cleanest, most useful thing to do is to just sort of record your thoughts. Get some sort of recorder that automatically digitizes something that goes straight to MP3. You can do this with even an iPod. You can get a little recorder on. You know, it's a cheap thing. It doesn't even involve the computer.
Can you suggest one? Because as I said, I'm a Luddite. I don't even know what you're.
Well, any iPod, you can get. Actually,
I'm not sure if iPods record.
Well, you have to put a little speaker on them.
A little microphone.
A little mic on them. Or
if you want to get a really high quality audio recorder, the one that I'm recommending right now, I mean, high quality is it sounds really good, but it doesn't actually cost too much. It's called the Zoom H2. Zoom is the brand name. H2 is the model, and this thing is it fits in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cup of coffee size, but a flat cup of coffee, and it's got two mics on it, and it's not great for carrying around. But if you take this thing and you sit it in front of you on a table and push record. It sounds wonderful. It captures the whole room. And then you just plug it on your computer through USB and you can transfer it over. I agree with Al that there's no reason not to record your voice doing this, because that's the story, you know, that the emotion comes through and everything.
Yeah.
If you're an excellent writer, of course, you can normally produce a much better story by writing. But I find that someone telling a story is a really wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I had thought I would do, would be to record it and then edit it and, maybe add and, subtract and...
Yeah. You can also get, like, a USB microphone that plug right in your computer. The trouble with those is that you're not going to do the recording. You're only going to do the recording at the computer. And the computer normally makes noise when it's on. That's why I like these little recording devices. If you get one of these things, I think it's like a $200. So it's an investment, right?
Maybe say it's that less. Again. What was it again?
It's called a Zoom Z-O-O-M H2. Zoom H2.
Would they have that at one of those well-known...
Yeah, they have it at a big store. I would probably buy it online. The other thing you could do is if you went to Amazon.com and looked at Zoom H2, and you just search for that, you're going to find on their page a whole bunch of other products that are like that with ratings. And you'll be able to look through the ratings. Keep in mind that sometimes people have a bad experience, so don't pay attention to one. You know, look at the average.
I wish you guys would... excuse me for cutting you off. I didn't mean to.
No.
I think it would be a great idea if you guys would have a billboard of geeks that are available for consultation.
I tried setting that up. It's a difficult process to set up. You mean saying, here's a list of five people that are in the area that can do that kind of thing?
I've had some unfortunate experience with people that advertise in the paper.
Yeah.
They say they know. They come in and they waste a lot of time.
If you send me an email, and I'm lyle@geekspeak.org, and say I'm in this area and I want somebody, I do have a pretty big network of people I can kind of redirect you to, at least three or four. People like Jesse Wilkins, who will come to your home and help you out, and there's a few other people that I kind of
know. Well, I'm way out in the boonies.
Yeah,
that's my problem.
These people will travel.
I'm posting.
Okay, well, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Certainly appreciate it.
We'll put a link to that.
Susan, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
We'll put a link to the Zoom H2.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also, another thing I should have mentioned. Oh, Susan, I hope you're listening. Turn your radio back on. Assistive Technology Lab services and classes at Cabrillo College. So Cabrillo College has some places that are specifically designed for people that need more resources. I don't know what their rules are and, like, who can get in or not get in, but I think that's kind of a self-defined thing. They do have Dragon Naturally Speaking in Windows there, and you can go in, take a small class. You can go and talk to them about how to use the space. Again, it's the Assistive Technology Lab services and classes. And we've done a couple shows on them over the years. Really great resource if you're in this area to get some support. Some real, like, one-on-one support, not just virtual support. All right, let's keep going. We got tons of calls. My goodness.
What is it? We're all of a sudden popular.
I know. Well,
it's the t-shirts.
It is the t-shirts. Everybody wants a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a t-shirt, though, you'd probably be traveling downtown.
Yeah.
Carol in Santa Cruz, welcome. Is it Carol? Sorry,
yeah.
Carol. Hi.
Hi.
What's your question today, Carol?
When I'm in iTunes downloading podcasts, I'm getting a message that says the disk is full and they can't download.
Yes, that will happen.
And I don't know what disk they're talking about.
Your hard drive, your computer itself has a main drive, probably only one.
They're talking about that one.
Yeah, and it's running out of space, which is pretty serious because, not serious and it's easy to fix, but it will cause everything to stop working, right? And what's happening is iTunes is kind of aware of how much space it has left, so it's not downloading it, so your machine's not crashing.
You
need to get some data off of your computer.
People always ask me, what kind of machine should I get? What laptop and all this? I want to buy a Windows machine or whatever, or a Mac. And they say, which one should I get? And really, my thought is always that if you buy something that's kind of new right now...
the most important thing.
It's probably okay, but the one most important thing is get as big a hard drive as the thing you can get in there.
Get it big.
Because ultimately, you're just going to run out of space. You're going to put pictures. You're going to save videos. You're going to do all this stuff. You got all these great cameras. Hey, I got this great camera. It takes HD video. Well, HD video is kind of big. And you're going to fill up, your drive.
Carol, what kind of computer do you have?
It's a Pentium.
Uh-huh. Is it a laptop or a tower?
It's a desktop.
A desktop. Okay. So do you have a backup solution?
No.
Okay. Every hard drive fails. Within a short period of time, every hard drive that's currently running will be dead and all the data on it will be gone. That just happens regularly. So have a backup solution, meaning you have to have a second copy of the stuff that's important to you. Just think right now, if everything on that computer was gone completely and you were looking at maybe spending $1,500 to help maybe someone possibly recover it, what would you miss? and get a copy of that onto a CD or onto an external drive. Now that I've done that spiel, and please take it seriously, everybody, because it just is painful when you lose data. What I'm going to suggest to you is you can get a second hard drive for your computer and put it in there, and you'll have a lot more space. You can move stuff over to that second hard drive. It's a little technical to do, and you probably want to bring it in somewhere. But do you know if it's like an original Pentium, like it's a really old computer?
It's fairly old. I don't know exactly how old. Somebody gave it to me.
Yeah. So what you probably want to do is go in there and kind of clean out the cruft of the machine, erase stuff that you don't need. And if you go into Explorer and you start viewing in list mode, there's a way to view your Explorer environment or the desktop environment in list view. And you can sort. One of the columns you can sort is by size. And you'll find some stuff on there you probably don't need that's pretty big. And if you erase that, you'll kind of clean up. But eventually, you'll kind of run out of that ability to do that. But what I would do right now is get an external hard drive, like a USB hard drive from a store. You can probably get one for under $50. Plug it in your computer and move some content onto that. Now, that won't be a backup. You'll actually erase the stuff from your main drive and move it onto the other drive, giving yourself more space on your main computer. And then when you're doing that, buy a second one and make sure you have a duplicate of of the data that's important to you. Probably your music collection is the most important to you on the computer, but probably some photos too.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. It'll take you days.
It's not that hard. But
I don't have a music collection.
Oh, okay. So just podcasts. Yeah. The other thing you do is erase old podcasts.
Yeah, just delete them. Yeah.
Pardon?
You could erase your old podcasts in iTunes.
Oh.
Ones you've listened to.
Select them and hit delete, and it'll clear up more space too.
What about my web mail? Does that take up a lot of room?
Are you using web browser to look at your web mail? Your mail?
I'm using Mozilla.
Okay. Yeah, Mozilla's mail is going to be in there. If you go into the Mozilla system and erase mail, that will help too.
Attachments. Yeah.
I can erase all of my past emails, is what you're saying?
Well, if you want
if you want to.
Yeah.
Al and I keep all our email, but you could erase it.
It doesn't.
You're basically going to have to get... I mean, if you've got an old computer like that and your drive's going to fail at some point and you're going to lose all that data, so I would really kind of take this opportunity to get your ducks in a row. You could go into a computer shop and say, you know, this is what I need. I need a new hard drive and I need a backup solution. And what they'll do is they'll give, you know, they'll put in a new hard drive, transfer your data from your old computer onto the new hard drive. It'll be so much bigger, you'll never have to worry about it again, probably.
Yeah.
And then they'll also give you an external drive, which will then set up a backup. If you do that, then your kind of whole solution's solved, and it would probably run you about $150 to do all that.
You mean for everything, including the work?
Yeah, I would assume it's going to be about that rate.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
It's not hard.
If I wanted to just erase some of my past emails...
Just select the ones that you don't want.
Well, I've got like 33,000 past emails. Is that the problem?
That could be a big part of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Sue from Big Sur. Hi. Sue, is it as cloudy down there as it is up here?
It's so cloudy that she can't even hear.
No.
She's looking for the phone right now.
Maybe she put it down. Maybe we lost Sue.
And it's
and
foggy.
Maybe we're talking to Barb, and that's why she's not saying anything. Barb, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, Barb. Sorry. Sue's going, I'm here. We'll get to you in a second, Sue. Barb, what's up?
I am going to visit family back east, and I would like to get my photos off iPhoto onto, I guess, a backup hard drive.
Do you want to be able to
portable, little, small something that they could plug into their computer if they wanted to see photos?
Okay. A small USB hard drive would do this trick, no problem. You can get like one of the portable ones, which are a little more expensive because they're enclosed, closed, and
they've got 16 gig ones now that are actually affordable.
Yeah,
and they just don't require power. You just plug them in USB, drag everything over. It takes a while.
Yeah, you could get a USB thumb drive.
We'd probably get all the drives you want.
I mean, the other thing to do is you could go ahead and invest in like an iPod Touch, and transfer the photos over, and then you can actually show them on the device. They don't have to plug in anything. You can just show them.
Right,
and you can even plug that to a TV if you want.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So any computer store, small hard drive, even a thumb drive would probably do it. How many photos are you talking about?
Oh, probably thousands. Who knows?
Yeah. When you do this in iTunes, do a
show. I don't want to really think about it. I just want to like.
You just want to do it. So in iPhoto, there's actually a way to export photos and choose a size that's smaller than the original, like email size, when you export. And then make a whole folder of them in that size, and then it would probably be pretty small. But if you do that now on your desktop, make a folder that's a copy of your photos but in smaller size. It'll take a while. Start it and then go have dinner or something. Afterwards, you can get information on that folder and find out how big it is, and then you'll know how much space you need.
Okay.
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 Thank you
all
so much for the call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Sue, so sorry to do that. Sue and Big Sur, hi.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
We sure can. What's your question?
Oh, I have two quick questions. I have a Mac, and I tried to, it said to download the latest upgrade of RealTime and QuickTime. So I went on, and it said, do this for free, or you can pay for it. Well, then I tried to use it again for this one email, and somebody sent me a little movie clip or something, and it again said, you need to go download this free upgrade. Well, I'd already done it, like, a couple times.
Yeah.
So how important is it to pay for that?
Don't pay for Real.
Or can I just use the free one?
Don't pay for Real,
no.
And don't even open Real. If someone's sending you something in Real, just let it go and say, sorry, I'm not going to look at that. And the reason for that is a couple of things. Reels are very old file. I mean, it's not popular anymore. QuickTime is.
Yeah.
QuickTime comes with Apple. It's a free product, and definitely download the most recent.
She's saying Real Time, but it should be Real Audio is what she really means.
Do you mean Real Audio or do you mean QuickTime?
Well, it was both.
Okay,
because
so,
Real Audio is.
As a matter of fact, I think QuickTime plays most everything. If you're on a Mac, you should just use QuickTime and just get rid of that Real. Because
yeah, I'd agree. I think that's the way.
It's an old thing.
But my
question was, how important is it to pay for it or just get the free download?
It's not important to pay for it on those things. No,
yeah.
For playing, it doesn't matter.
No. I mean, QuickTime had a paid-for version that did some really great features in 7, which is a really awesome device. But that's for like editing quickly and doing other things. You don't need that for playing stuff.
And plus, actually paying for it, it was cheap.
The other thing is there's a product called VLC, Video Land VLC controller, and that thing will play any file format as well, that's free.
I'll put a link to VLC up on the website.
It's possible if it's not playing and you keep on needing to download, that something's happening in your process. It's not actually upgrading ever. Or you're downloading it and never running the application to run it. That's a possibility too. But avoid Real Player at this point.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, great. And then I just have another quick question. Like, my boyfriend, I got him the iPhone a year ago, and we love it because we never have any arguments about driving or anything because of the GPS. And I was telling my friends how much I love this iPhone, his iPhone. And so they were wondering, like, Verizon has one. I think it's called the Droid.
Nope. Oh, yeah,
well,
it's different.
Are they all the same, or is iPhone better?
It depends on who you talk to. Al and I are going to say that the iPhone's the way to go. Ben's going to say do the Android. I think the Android's awesome. I mean, it's a really great device. The operating system's wonderful. You can get a cheaper plan through Verizon for the Android solution than through AT&T.
I think if you're speaking strictly GPS performance, I don't think it makes any difference.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Oh, I just mean for all general, for everything.
You have to play with it, unfortunately. Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, we are running out of time on GeekSpeak today.
Oh, that went fast.
That does happen quickly, doesn't it? It's all the talking, I think.
This is Al Luckow with GeekSpeak's Crazy USB Device of the Week. I'm here today to tell you about the USB Glitter Rocket. It's a device that looks like a rocket ship, but inside are tiny glittery flecks of who knows what. The manufacturers say it will give you a little serenity on a crazy day at the office with the silver sparkles floating and easing all your tensions away. However, it's in the shape of a rocket ship. That means it should blast you into adventure, shooting you to exciting landscapes filled with exotic creatures and aliens, which you then fight off with your phaser, wearing only your thin, tight black pants and red shirt. I mean blue shirt. I said blue shirt. Not red, I said blue. I meant blue.